I remember correctly, it was about the second or the third Sunday in January in 2007 that we began our journey through the Gospel of Mark. And the way I'm looking at things now, we'll complete that journey 2 weeks from tonight. I haven't had to wonder what I was going to preach about for 3-4 years. So it's going to be a change for me and maybe a welcome change for you, but it's been a blessing to me to go back through Mark's Gospel again. Tonight we come to the 15th chapter, read verses 42 through 47. And when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member who himself was waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled that he was already dead, and calling the centurion to him, he asked if he had been dead for some time. And when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. And he brought fine linen, took him down and wrapped him in the linen, and he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph observed where he was laid. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, Jesus had died on the cross. And normally you would have expected that some of his family would have come and asked for his body. Or maybe some of the disciples would have come to take the body of Jesus and prepare it for burial and bury it. But no, they're not there. None of them are there. They're not to be found. Why they did not come to claim the body of Jesus? Well, probably because they were still controlled by fear. And William Barclay said in his little commentary, it's frequently happened that the bodies of criminals were never buried at all, but were simply taken down and left for the vultures and the scavenging wild dogs to deal with. In fact, it's been suggested, he said, that Golgotha may have been called the place of the skull because it was littered with the skulls left lying from previous crucifixions. Rather a gruesome picture. At any rate, when Jesus died, there was no family, no disciples, no friends to ask for the body of Jesus. So Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Who was Joseph? What do we know about him? Why would he be interested in Jesus? What can we learn from him? Well, for the next few minutes, let's think about it. All that we know about Joseph is not really clear. Mark says he was an honorable man. Matthew said he was rich, and he must have been a man of some means, or he could not have done what he did. He had to have money to own a tomb in Jerusalem and to afford the embalming spices to bury a non-family member. Joseph must have been fairly well off financially. Mark says he was an honorable counselor or a respected member of the council. We're not sure whether Joseph was a member of the Sanhedrin, the highest court of the Jews, or if he was a member of some local council. But if Joseph was a member of the Sanhedrin, it's possible that all the information about the trial of Jesus before the Sanhedrin came from him. We can be sure that none of the disciples were there. The information had to come from some member of the group, and it's very probable that it was from Joseph that it came. He was in the meeting where the Sanhedrin said Jesus was worthy of death. Mark also said that Joseph, that he was also looking for the kingdom of God. This suggests a noble quality of spirit. He was looking for the best. He was looking for the highest. He was looking at the most noble things that he could conceive. This indicates a life lived in expectation of God's action in the world. He was expecting the kingdom of God to break in upon him. He carried within him a great hope. And Joseph was also a man of courage. Mark tells us he took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And it did take courage for Joseph to make this request. It took courage to face Pilate. It took even more courage to do what he did and then face those of his own countrymen who had plotted and engineered the crime of the execution. How easy it would have been for Joseph to say, well, he's dead now. There's nothing more that I can do, or at least nothing that'll make any real difference. And you'll see next that Joseph was a man of action. As soon as Pilate gave him permission to have the body of Jesus, Joseph bought a linen shroud, took the body of Jesus from the cross, wrapped him in the shroud, laid him in a tomb, and rolled a stone against the door. Joseph had to act quickly. Well, we think that Jesus died about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and the Sabbath would begin at 6 o'clock, and no work could be done after 6 o'clock. So Joseph, after Jesus died, had to go to Pilate, ask for the body of Jesus, and take care of everything that's involved in the burial in 3 hours and a little less. These things we know about Joseph and what he did. But why did he do it? Why was he interested in Jesus? We've already seen that Joseph was a good man, a religious man, one looking for the kingdom of God. And to bury the dead was an act of piety that might be expected of such a man. He could have gotten involved just because he was a good man. And if Joseph was a member of the Sanhedrin, there is, as Barker said, a certain tragedy about Joseph. We hear no words spoken by Joseph during the trial of the Sanhedrin on Jesus' behalf or in his favor. Joseph gave Jesus a tomb when he was dead. But as far as we know, he spoke no word of encouragement or defense for him while he lived. Perhaps part of the motivation of Joseph to do what he did was a sense of guilt and failure for not speaking up on the behalf of Jesus earlier. What can we learn from Joseph? Well, we may be good and honorable and have a degree of wealth and still not be the best we could be. Surely what Joseph did was commendable. To go to Pilate and ask for the body of Jesus to take it down and bury it in his own new tomb, that was commendable. He'll always be remembered as the man who did this, the man who gave Jesus a burial place. How much more he may have been remembered if he'd spoken some word for Jesus before his death. But you know, and I know, it's one of the most common tragedies of life that we keep our thanks, our words of praise and love, our bouquets of flowers to bestow upon people after they're dead. People die every day after going 50 years or longer and nobody giving them so much as a rose. And their caskets are covered with flowers. Many have been persons who praised after they were dead and never received a thank you, a note of thanksgiving, of praise, never received a word of love while they were living. I think this is one thing we need to learn from Joseph. To give our flowers. To say our words of thanks and praise and love while people are still living. But everything else here, I'd like for us to see the power of the cross. Jesus had said in John's Gospel, "I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all people unto me." And what his life could not do, the crucifixion did. First, there was a thief on the cross beside him who asked to be remembered when he came into his kingdom. There was the centurion in charge of the crucifixion who cried out as Jesus died, "Surely this man was the Son of God." And now Joseph, who had been attracted to Jesus when he lived, but had gone no further. Now that he's dead, Joseph took courage to do the right thing. And it continues to this day. Where Jesus is lifted up, he draws people unto himself. The Golden Rule may speak to you. The Sermon on the Mount may disturb you. Some of the teachings of Jesus may really bother you. But when you come and linger at Calvary and remember and look at the one dying there for you and listen to his words as he prays for you as his life ebbs away, listen. Listen and look and linger at the cross. And surely there will come a conviction of sin, a turning from your sin to God, a conversion of your life. Because of Calvary. And all he did for us there. Amen. Amen. God, our Heavenly Father, help us to learn from Joseph. And help us all to linger long at Calvary. And let our hearts be broken with the things that continue to break your heart in this troubled world. We come again to the cross. We come to wait before you and sing your praises. In Jesus' name, amen.